broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It didn't appear to me he was breathing at all, and I just started CPR.
Incredibly divisive figure.
Yeah, this is really a question of maintaining our memory of what happened.
A transitional force of U.S. troops will remain in Iraq with a different mission.
Nappy is racial.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. May not like it, may not agree with it. You will think it's pretty funny. I mean, that's after you get to know the show. But truth is our bitch, and we'll go anywhere to find that there truth here. And welcome to our program and our website. The right arm of the Phil Hendry Show is www.philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. A live streaming video of our show right now is at our website, so if you want to watch us perform the show, and there's going to be a day, if not today, there will be a day when you'll say, how does that guy do that show? So you'll want to go over to our website, philhendryshow.com. Podcasts available. Right now we have a new classic podcast up called, what the heck is the new podcast? It's, Brotherhood of the Cape. Don't miss it. And we're working things out with Mr. Steven Jobs and Apple so that our RSS feed and their acceptance of our RSS feed, it's a work in progress. Anyway, our website, philhendryshow.com, with archives, with a news feed, with our comment section, get your backstage pass. All right, coming up with the program tonight, Washington State may ban smoking in one's own home. That's right. Ban smoking in your own home. Washington State is considering that. A 64-year-old man gets tasered for resisting arrest. Or was he just being asked to come to the hospital because he was, quote, suicidal? We'll play the audio of him getting tased, which, of course, we always enjoy doing. I kid, but we do. We probably got a bigger library of people getting tased than anybody. And Jay Santos and Dr. Ron Tarner join us. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and he's been in touch with the Cougar Corps over this cigarette smoking situation. 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight in Portland, KXFD 970 AM, and in Little Rock, Arkansas, KDXC 1380 AM. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. Teachers have a very, very big job. They've got to not only teach, but they also have to be responsible for the safety of young people. This is a enormous task, and it's certainly an enormous responsibility, and one that I know teachers, responsible teachers, do not take lightly. This most recent story is one of such tragic proportion, and it's typical of kids. I suppose it may even be typical of what goes on in a science class. It has a horrible outcome. And through it all, we've got a lawsuit. We have a teacher who is saying, it wasn't me, believe me, I didn't do anything wrong. We've got a kid who was being a kid, and now we've got a kid who has been in intensive care and who may have suffered irreparable brain damage. What is this all about? Well, it happened in New Hampshire, and it was a teenager who was in a science class of some kind on March the 11th. This young man's name was Kyle Dubois. Now, what did he do? Well, he willingly, and we underline that word, Kyle Dubois willingly placed an alligator clamp on one of his nipples while a second student placed one on his other nipple and a third student plugged in a cord providing electricity, sending an approximately three-second jolt through Dubois, according to police, in a statement that followed this investigation. You follow me so far? For 3 seconds, this young man endured the electrical shock. It dropped him to the floor, and it stopped his heart beating. This, according to the New Hampshire Union Leader. Now, there's a lawsuit being filed by this family of this young man after clamping this electrical cord to his nipple and having his heart stop. They're suing the school. They're suing the teacher, saying that their boy suffered brain damage. The suit claims Kelly, this young man, the teacher, I should say, who is a man by the name of Kelly, Thomas Kelly. They say that Kelly was less than 8 feet away at the time and saw and heard the students engaging in this activity. They claim that this teacher egged the boy into shocking himself by enticing him with a Mountain Dew. Authorities did not file charges in the case, and police said Kelly denied the allegations that he offered the kid soda. The teacher, Thomas Kelly, said he was talking with another student when Dubois shocked himself. He said he was talking to the other student about fantasy baseball. Kyle has suffered brain damage due to his heart stoppage. According to the suit, he suffers from short-term memory loss and other losses and disruptions related to this incident. The suit also says that the teacher, Mr. Kelly, had a pattern and practice of leaving the students in his electrical technology class unattended for up to 20 minutes at a time. Here is the teacher talking to police, and you'll forgive me, but the story does not, in any readily accessible way, tell us what possible police jurisdiction this is. I've got New Hampshire. I've got Massachusetts. Nonetheless, here is teacher Thomas Kelly talking to officers about the incident. It's an excerpt from an interview released by whatever police department.
Didn't appear to me he was breathing at all, and I just started CPR. I just started. The one thing I remember him saying is, "What will you give me if I clip these to my nipple?" You know, maybe nothing. "Give me a Mountain Dew, Kelly. I don't have no Mountain Dew." I was talking about my fantasy baseball team with one student, and the next thing I know, there was a commotion. I hear, you know, "Ouch," and I look, and there's Kyle going to the ground.
All right, here is another piece of sound. A lieutenant with the Dover Police Department, this is Dover, New Hampshire, explains to Headline News why the teacher is not being charged criminally.
"We concluded that we don't think that anybody in the room, the teacher, Kyle himself, or any of the other students that helped with this contraption that he became shocked with, thought or knew that he'd be hurt."
So there's the bottom, sort of the outline of this story, and we're going to bring on the line here Ron Tarner, who's a science teacher, and Ron has taught at the high school level as well as community college level. He's over at Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado, and Ron joins us this evening. Ron, how are you?
Well, Phil, I'm good. Thank you for having me on your program, and I hope I got that out the way that I should. We were having some fun. Listen to me rehearse that.
Yeah, you were rehearsing your coming on the program. Ron, I want to ask you, though, very seriously about this.
Yes.
This is a young man who was in a science class who did something extremely dangerous. He took these alligator clamps, put them on his chest, clipped them onto his skin, his nipples, and had another kid plug it into the wall. This teacher was talking fantasy baseball with another student when this was happening. So even if the teacher is to be believed, the teacher is still extremely negligent here. Here's parents that are suing this school, saying that this guy has had a history of leaving kids unattended in his science class. The guy's had a history of not paying attention to the kids, and now he's off talking fantasy baseball?
Believe me when I tell you that I've been a teacher and I've been a research assistant, and I've been involved at a lot of different levels in the educational process, both for high school students as well as at the college level. And you do try to protect kids. You do the very best that you can, Phil. But there comes a point where you cannot protect them all the time. Kids are going to do what they're going to do, and most of the time you're there to watch that they don't do something dangerous, especially in science class. Where you have to make sure that you protect yourself is at any possibility, is there a sexual molestation allegation? As a teacher, that's when you say, well, I've got to protect my career more than I need to protect the student. Other than that, yes, of course, there is every obligation to protect the student. The teacher in this situation...
When you say a sexual molestation charge, what do you mean by that?
Well, there's some question in the case that you're telling me about a young man who's putting these alligator clamps on his nipples. And the teacher said very clearly that he was off talking fantasy baseball with other students. It's very clear that teacher is making a point of separating himself from the student, that he was nowhere near the student. Now, why would he do that? I believe it is because, as teachers, we care about the student. We do care about our own careers, too. And if it comes down to whether the student is going to be safe or we have a career at 5 o'clock at the end of a Friday, your career is going to have to take precedence over that.
And yeah, but you haven't told me what that's got to do with the sexual molestation. Hold on for a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here to Dr. Ron Turner about this situation in New Hampshire where a teen who attached electrical clamps to his nipples in a science class was shocked, passed out, has suffered brain damage. They had to take this kid to the hospital, Doc.
I understand.
And they had to drill a hole in his skull to relieve the pressure from the brain. Are you telling me that this teacher... did the right thing?
Don't put me in the position of defending any one individual. I, on the surface of it, yes, it looks like the teacher did do the right thing by staying as far away from this kid as he could.
Now, if you're a teacher and you see kids fooling around with electrical clamps, they're putting these clamps on their nipples.
Well, hold on. It depends on what the kid is doing. I've got a career to protect. This teacher has a career to protect. When you tell me the two kids are with alligator clamps and are putting alligator clamps on their nipples, you're now getting into an area where there could be charges of sexual misconduct.
And by who? By the students?
If I intercede as a teacher, there could be a charge that I'm over there engaged in some activity with these kids, playing with their nipples or alligator clamps or whatever.
And all right. So are you telling me that this teacher then avoided contact with these students?
I am telling you that if it comes down to it, and the teacher saw that these kids had now stepped over the line, they have crossed what we call in teaching, it is a student-teacher Rubicon, where you see a student now actively engaging in something that looks quasi-sexual. You either join in or involve yourself and you accept the consequences or you stay as far away from that as you can. That teacher, I think, did the right thing.
Well, in doing the right thing, that teacher stayed away from that kid and those kids that were fooling around. That kid got shocked. He had to go to the hospital. He may have brain damage. And
I understand that. But at that point, Phil, that boy, when they used the alligator clamps on the nipples, I'm saying, had it been anything else,
What else could it be?
Had it been any other kind of activity that was endangering their well-being, the teacher would, I think, have had a responsibility. But when he saw alligator clamps and he saw these boys putting them on nipples, the teacher decided his career at that point had to take precedence even over the life of that boy. And
well, that's what I'm talking about. That kid could have died. And you're saying this teacher stays away from the kid. He tells the cops he was talking fantasy baseball because he didn't want to be perceived as engaging in sex play with these kids.
These kids are the ones that started this sex play.
Well, it's not even sex play.
It may not have been, but that's what it appeared to this teacher, possibly. And that's what he said. I don't want these kids to die, but I don't want to go into a jail cell tonight.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Professor Ron Turner about students in a science class, one of whom shocked himself by putting alligator clamps on his nipples and being knocked out for 3 seconds and suffering brain damage. Why didn't the teacher intercede? Because at that point he saw kids playing with each other's nipples, and it could have been sexual in nature, and he couldn't afford to get involved in that. Meanwhile, a kid goes to the hospital and has his skull opened up to relieve pressure. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world
that's not what I'm asking
Phil
you.
Hendry Show.
It's an interesting conversation I'm having here with Ron Turner off the air. Dr. Ron Turner joining us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And Dr. Turner and I are talking about a story here in Dover, New Hampshire, I come to find out. A young man, and he had to be taken to a Boston hospital, so I guess it's in the Boston area. A young man who is in a science class takes a couple of electrical clamps and puts them on his nipples, and his friend plugs it into the wall. Now, that doesn't sound like very responsible behavior.
No, it's not responsible behavior at all, Phil. And I bet forgiving or excusing the behavior of these young people, I'm telling you that as a teacher, and with the number of sexual molestation allegations and sexual inappropriacy that teachers are accused of, and the fact that we are not allowed to touch certain parts of a student's body, I ask you, and I ask your listeners, where do you draw the line?
So the teacher here...
I'm telling you that if I see a student that is in trouble, perhaps something caught on fire, I'll give you an example of something that we can't go near, and this has happened before, and you can talk to students, they do these things. You know that young people like to take matches, and when they break wind, they like to put a match to it and watch the flame, right?
You mean when the kid farts?
Yes, and they light it.
Yeah, it's the methane gas?
Exactly. When we see that happen in a classroom, and a young man has unbelted his trousers and pulled his pants down, and he's lighting a fart, as you call it, we can't go near that. I can't go near that young person. Now, you understand that young man runs the risk of harming himself seriously, of seriously burning himself, of seriously burning other people. I can't go near him.
You won't go near a kid that is going to harm himself. These kids with the electrical wire because you're afraid of a sexual harassment charge. Is that what I'm hearing?
That you are hearing a teacher telling you, Phil, and other teachers will say the same thing. Once these kids engage in an activity that can be perceived as sexual in nature, and I go over there, it looks like I could be accused of joining in.
Well, if a kid pulls his pants down to light a fart, and you say this has happened before in your class.
It's happened to a lot of teachers, yes. Once the kid pulls his pants down, you can't go anywhere near him. And if that means he winds up critically burning himself, as has happened, and they have tried to sue the schools and the teacher will say, you can't sue me because I'm looking out for my own career. And the court is going to see that as a legitimate concern by the teacher.
All right, our number is, I'm learning some things, you know.
Well, this is what I was telling you, Phil. It's not an easy world out there for teachers right now.
It doesn't sound like it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So the nipple clamp thing you perceive as a sexual thing?
It could be perceived as sexual, yes. And so these two kids who were fooling with these alligator clamps, putting them on that one young man's nipples, you look at that as a teacher, you know that young man may very seriously hurt himself, but at that point I've got to make a judgment call. Better my career survive if that kid gets brain damage.
Oh, boy. I mean, are you going to sit in front of a courtroom and talk? Are you going to say that in a civil case?
You have no choice. If the lawyer says to you, what was it going to be, I'll say my career before I go over there and have your clients, the parents of this boy, accuse me of sexually fondling his nipples or play, you know, pitching up with an alligator clamp.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. At what point does a teacher help a kid or save his own career? Here's Richard in Los Altos, California, listening on KNEW. Go ahead, Richard. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi, Phil. I've never listened to a show before, but I was driving and happened upon this show. And let me say that I was floored by the guest that you have, who is supposedly a teacher and is talking about potential sexual harassment when a teacher's primary concern is the safety of this poor kid. How can this?
No. Your primary concern is saving your own career so that you can teach another day.
But
thank you for listening to that. Most people butt in, but I know you're
intent on hearing what I have to say.
But when
because
I,
you
when
were
I,
just driving, you were just driving along and listening to this show, and you've never heard it before.
No, exactly.
I know. You, right. My primary concern. Thank you for being quiet. My primary concern is my career.
Your primary concern. By the way, I can thank my caller. You know.
No, but I'm just letting him know that most people who are just driving along and have never heard the show before would probably be really incensed. But this man's being very polite as he listens to everything that I say, which is that my career is more important than a dead kid.
Well, he's being a smartass, though.
I'm not being a smartass.
With my last caller, you were a smartass.
Well, I just thought that that band was... I don't think that band took me very seriously. I think there's a very serious...
That sounded to me like he was taking you seriously. We're back here with Dr. Ron Tarner, our number 877-876-PHIL, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking about a young man in New Hampshire whose heart stopped beating after he attached two electrical clamps to his nipples. Another student plugged in a cord attached to those clamps, and the kid got an electrical shock and almost died. I mean, his heart stopped beating. He had to go to to the hospital and get the pressure relieved from his skull. And in that case, they do some kind of boring through the skull, you know, with a drill.
Phil, it sounds all very draconian, but that is the price that you pay when you're not acting responsibly.
But you're on the program saying that no teacher has the responsibility of stopping that kid at that point because of the sexual appearance of what they're doing.
So I'll give you, if you want to...
But I want to be clear. Because of the sexual appearance of what they're doing, you can't do anything.
No teacher is going to, and you could thank the parents, you could thank the many, many parents, Phil, who have gone... in front of teachers' homes, who have gone in front of teachers' schools, who have raised signs and said, we don't want this guy or that guy at our school because they're sexual molesters. You can thank all of them for making teachers gun-shy, helping students, because it may be perceived as joining in sex play.
A kid drops his pants to light a fart. You can't go over there and tell him anything because his pants are off.
Pants are off or down, yeah.
Another kid attaches electrical clamps to his nipples and shocks himself almost to death, and that looks like sex play.
You can't go over there and do anything. Once those clamps go on the nipples, all bets are off.
But before that, you could have.
If it could be perceived that you're not going over and encouraging some kind of sex play between boys, you could well imagine what a school board or a collection of these parents who no one is going to be giving, you know, the parents that I have dealt with as a teacher, no one's going to be giving them a complimentary Mensa membership anytime soon. I'll give you an example, Phil, of young people involved in an experiment. We were using ammonia and mustard. And we were trying to create a type of a gas, and the poison gases that were used during wartime. Well, these would be a kind of nerve gas. We had not even begun the experiment when one of the students passed out. She had fainted. It wasn't anything too serious, but she had got just a little too much of carbon dioxide and had fainted. Well, they asked me to do mouth-to-mouth, and you can't. And unfortunately, that young lady, we did pull her outside, and another student gave her mouth-to-mouth, which we had in the class, one of the kids who do CPR.
But you were you asked to give her mouth-to-mouth?
Well, one of the students said, Dr. Tarner, do you know CPR? I said, I do, but I can't give her mouth-to-mouth.
You were not going to give her mouth-to-mouth. Why?
Because it's going to look like I've got my mouth on her, trying to give her a kiss.
Oh, come on! I mean, are you telling me the teachers are that paranoid?
No, it's not paranoia. It's happening all over the country. You call it paranoia, and you could describe it as paranoia if it wasn't happening, but it's happening. So it's not paranoia. It's actual, real and it is destroying the careers of teachers all over this country. And I can tell you that for my money, I would be very happy to have engaged in CPR or to have removed the alligator clamps from the nipples of that kid or pulling a kid's pants up who is lighting methane gas. But I've got a career to protect.
So that girl did not get any mouth-to-mouth from you. What happened?
We dragged her outside.
What do you mean, dragged her?
Well, I had the kids, again, understanding that as a teacher, I cannot go near her. I can't go near her. So the kids picked her up, and because she was a rather heavy girl, they dragged her by the feet. They dragged her outside. And
they dragged this girl by the feet?
Phil, I'm trying to give you the story.
All right, go ahead. They dragged a girl outside.
Right, and one of the other students do CPR, do mouth-to-mouth, and I said, well, if you knew mouth-to-mouth, why didn't you give her mouth-to-mouth in there? And the kid said, because I thought you were going to, and I said, no. She did come around. It was a situation where she could have suffered brain damage. Well, we're arguing about who's going to give this young lady, she was a large girl, and so it wasn't going to be, if your predilection is to get, you know, your enjoyment giving a woman mouth to mouth, this was not going to be one of your highlights, this girl.
Well, look, at the way you're referring to this is a little inappropriate, too.
No, I'm not. No, this is the way people see this.
All right, so we have an instance where you refused mouth to mouth because it would be perceived as a sexual come on to a student.
That is correct. And I'll tell you something. More and more kids are going to die because teachers need to protect themselves from sexual harassment prosecution, so you can't remove nipple clamps or stop a kid from lighting a fart or any of these things.
877-876-PHIL is the number. I'm going to take a phone call now. And again, we're talking with Dr. Ron Tarner here about the situation in school. Kids, science experiments, what do they do that's dangerous? What do they do that isn't dangerous? And at what point does a teacher step in and tell them to stop doing it? Here's Daryl in Nashville, Tennessee. Daryl, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Dr. Ron Tarner, listen, if my child was going to harm themselves, and if you try to help them, listen, I would praise you. I would thank you. I would congratulate you. And I'm thinking, you know, if you did anything, other students might witness that. And so that, you know, that would cover you as well, you know.
Unfortunately, that's not really how the world works. You see, a student, parents can't wait to sue because a lot of parents see this as a payday. They see, here's my chance to make some money off the school district. Here's my chance to make some money off the teacher.
Let me ask you a question. If you lose your career, but yet you saved a life, I mean, couldn't you live with yourself still and maybe move on?
You're asking me to be a hero. All right. Could you give up your career and your family and feeding your family? I think it's easy to speculate, but the actual living it is something else entirely. And I have to tell you, sir, when it comes down to me saving some stupid kid from doing something stupid or saving my own ability to make a living, I'm afraid I've got to choose myself because I can't afford a lawsuit. Do you know anyone that can afford a sexual molestation charge or a sexual harassment charge? I don't.
I don't know.
Can I ask a question? I want to jump in on a question here. This gentleman's making a point. If a girl is passed out and you're giving her mouth to mouth with all the other students around,
there could be a student there that says Dr. Tarner saw an opportunity to kneel over her and touch her breasts.
You're kidding.
No, Phil, I have seen it all. I've seen it all. I've seen it all and I've heard it all.
If I lose my job for helping someone, so be it. You know, I will
not only lose your job, not only lose your job, but go to jail. Are you ready to do that?
Go to jail for sexual harassment.
That's right. It could be 16 days, 30 days. It could be a county lockup, but it's still jail. It's still on your record. And certainly, it isn't just losing a job. It now impacts a career. So you think about that, young man, before you want to be a hero.
To sit back and do to sit back and do nothing.
Oh, come on. Let me tell you how the world works. Yeah, let me tell you how the world works. It's not a movie. It's not a movie. It's real life.
All right, Daryl, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Here is John in Canada, Ontario, Canada. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Turner.
Good morning, Dr. Mr. Phil, how are you?
Fine.
Good.
He was laughing, but I don't know why he was laughing.
Well, he thought the whole thing was funny.
Yes, go ahead, John. Sorry.
Yeah, well, Professor, I think you're just a little bit squeamish here. There's a human responsibility that comes with this. I mean, if the parents aren't going to be there, then you are entrusted with taking care of their kids. And if they're being stupid, then you need to step up and put them in their place.
Oh, I see. Is that what I got to do?
Yeah.
Are you going to hire me the lawyer?
No. I don't have the funds to hire you a lawyer.
I didn't think you were going to hire the lawyer. See, let me tell you how it works. All right, I don't know how it is in Canada, but in America, parents love to sue, and they love to sue for sexual molestation. They love that particularly. And they don't mind taking a guy's career away from him. If any parent out there thinks they're going to do it to Ron Turner, I'll let their kid lay there and die. That's what I'll do.
And, well, you sound like you've got a real chip on your shoulder, though.
Well, I think a lot of teachers do, because we've been paid back by a society that doesn't pay us, doesn't care about our own safety, really doesn't care too much about how our kids are taught. All they care about is whether or not, they get a free education out of it and they can sue somebody. Not me, no thank you. Not this boy.
All right, sir. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Listening to
What's
the
that?
World
Hold
famous
on, man.
Phil Hendry Show.
You know, Ron, I got to get back into the show.
I apologize, Phil.
877-876-PHIL. Phil Hendry with Dr. Ron Turner from Mountain Meadow Observatory. We're talking about teaching because Ron was a teacher in the community college level as well as at the high school level. I know that mostly what you do is research science, but we are talking about this kid in New Hampshire that knocked himself out, almost killed himself by electrocuting himself with two. And it just so happens, two alligator clamps to the nipples. If it hadn't been to the nipples, if he had attached them to any other part of his body, okay, in a non-sexual way.
Well, I was going to say, some of these kids, put them on their genitals. You can't go near any of that.
If it was anywhere else.
Well, yeah, then I could have stepped in and possibly have saved the young man from brain damage. But even if I had saved that young man from brain damage, trust me when I tell you, Phil, I don't expect any parent to pick up the phone and call me and say, thank you. You know, that's not going to happen. So when you save a young person as a teacher, when you save a young person from a hospital stay, when you save a young person from possibly an ICU, when you save a young person from possible death, you always have to remind yourself that you did that for yourself. And for, whatever recognition the school is going to give you, because there's a possibility that this could enhance your career. But don't ever think you're going to get a thank you from the parents or even from the kid.
This is what I'm saying. You sound like you got a little bit of bitterness.
No, it's not. It's real. It's, no, believe me, it's not bitterness. It's a realistic view of life, okay? Now, I've got a story here. This is,
all right, you mentioned some story you wanted to read me.
This is from Washington State, I think. Parents pulled their children out of class and protested outside Washington State school. A teacher convicted of inappropriately touching female students was scheduled to return to work. The guy's name is, I think, I don't know the name of the teacher, but he was coming back after spending 16 days in jail. And he spent 16 days in jail because he had supposedly inappropriately touched these girls. Now, his name was Bolton. I think that's the gentleman's name.
And what school district?
Well, it's called Morton School District.
Michael Moulton.
Michael Moulton. Now, he had patted some girls on the rear end. How many times in football do you see that? How many times in basketball do you see that? But he did that, and he went to jail for that. Now, I am telling you,
that
patting a girl on the ass, he should have known better.
All right, but what I'm saying is this. Just by interacting with a student, by simply saying to a student, nice job, they saw sex in it. So if I go over and...
Well, I don't know. When you say just by interacting, say a nice job...
If he patted the kid on the ass, or on the butt.
All right, well, that's still an inappropriate place to pat a girl. You're not going to do that with a girl, okay?
They do it with boys. So
well, they may do it with boys. That might be fine to do it with boys. Although even with a boy... Frankly, I never got into that whole slapping a guy on the ass thing. I don't get that. I've seen that in football, you know. But the fact is you're not going to do it with a girl.
All right, so you're not going to do it with a girl. But here's my point. That man made a bad decision, and it cost him not only his job, he spent 16 days in the county lockup for trying to encourage kids to do better. Now, what was his thanks? What did the parents of those kids do to thank him for encouraging those kids to do better? They put him in jail. All right?
And I don't know that the story... I don't know you got the story right, because they said it was inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
That's what they said. Now, you may not think that patting a girl on the ass is inappropriate. I do. And if it was a teacher who was patting my daughter on the ass, I'd say, wrong, dude. Wrong, okay?
Would you have him arrested?
No, maybe I wouldn't have him arrested, although I would say to the guy, you got to be kidding me, man. You're a teacher and you don't know that? That's a no-brainer.
All right, well, okay. But let's say he made the mistake. The fact is, what they did to thank him for encouraging the kids is they sent him to a jail cell. Now, if I were to have removed those nipple clamps from those kids, from that kid's nipples, I would have been rewarded with a similar jail cell. I might even be bunking with that guy. And if I had so much as pulled up the pants of a kid lighting a fart, the same thing would have happened. I would have wound up being booked, processed, and in my own cell before the watch commander came on at midnight.
And boy, you know a lot about being in jail, huh?
No, I do not know a lot about being. I'm trying to make a point here, Phil.
Well, all right, well, so your point is made, and that we're going to have more dead kids because parents apparently don't get it. Teachers don't, you know, teachers not going to help kids because they're going to die.
No, because the teacher's going to go to jail.
For sexual harassment, so let the kid die.
That unfortunately, Phil, is going to be the situation until we work these things out.
All right, before you go, let me ask you, what is the possible solution to this? You know, what can we do to encourage teachers, if a kid's laying there choking to death, it's okay to give them mouth-to-mouth?
I think we have to loosen up what we perceive. I think you simply have to say to the teachers, first of all, apologize to teachers and say that there has been an almost a Spanish Inquisition when it comes to our teachers. We are sorry. There has been a reign of terror where teachers have been thrown into jail cells, teachers have been thrown into prison cells without so much as the opportunity to hire a lawyer, simply accused of sexual battery when all they did was pat a kid on the shoulder and say, nice job. We've had teachers who have been held without the benefit of a call to a lawyer for months. We've got teachers that have gone away. We don't know where they are. They've gone missing.
Are you talking about the United States of America?
That's where I live, yeah.
You're telling me that there have been teachers thrown into jail without so much as counsel?
Without a lawyer, without being informed of their rights. We have a list of at least 300 teachers. We don't know what happened to them. They were taken away in the dead of night. And
what are you talking about, man? This sounds like Central America or something.
Well, what do you mean?
It sounds like some sort of... It sounds like something out of, you know, the days of that Pinochet dude, you know? And
who?
Pinochet, you know, those third world dictators?
I'm telling you that all a teacher has to do is pat a kid on the back and say, nice job, kid, and you'll never see him again. And I'm not talking about the kid. I mean the teacher. So that's why we have said, I'm going to keep a hands-off policy. If the kid dies, he dies. I don't want children to die, Phil, any more than you do. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to watch a career of 20 years go down to the because I patted a kid on the shoulder and said, good job, and his parents are accusing me of sodomy with my hand. Phil.
All right, Ron. Well, we'll continue to look at this. It's a if what you say is I don't believe it for a second.
What?
There are teachers that are missing.
There have been stories of teachers taken away in the dead of night.
In the dead of, yeah. All right, Ron Tarner has been with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory. I'm losing all my news here. On the story of a kid putting nipple clamps on and electrocuting himself. And if you're a teacher, don't go near that, man. They'll think that you're joining in. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up next hour, we've got Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. He's in Washington State as he looks at a new law being proposed in the state of Washington, which would make it illegal for you to smoke in your apartment. In other words, the idea that secondhand smoke can, you know, permeate the walls of your apartment, go through, who knows, the crack in the door or whatever, and basically make it very unpleasant for everyone living in the apartment complex. To solve that problem, they're proposing outlawing cigarette smoking entirely in multifamily units. We'll talk to Jay Santos coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.